last week and said that today we will be talking about how to keep the fire after revival. You see, we had several good nights of revival preaching and teaching and praying. And so how do we keep that fire alive is what we're going to talk about today. And, you know, we often wonder when we have revival, why does that fire of revival burn for just a quick amount of time? It seems like that a month goes by or so, or even just a couple weeks, and then it's all gone. We forgot we had revival. We forgot what the purpose of revival is. We forgot all about what revival is supposed to do to our church. So, what can church do to keep that fire going? What can we do in order to keep that fire here? And you know, one of the things that we have to remember is that we got to quit trying to fill the church, and we need to fill the people with God. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that we just don't need warm bodies here. We need to fill the bodies that we have here with God. Amen. That starts your revival. That keeps your revival no matter what through it all. That if we have the Spirit flowing through us, then we will continue our revival. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read verse 6 through 9. While you're turning there, this is 2 Timothy is Paul's farewell speech to Pharaoh addressed to Timothy and the church here. So 2 Timothy chapter 1. Please stand with us as we read God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 through 9 says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed," I said, "do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." Let us pray. Lord, I just pray today that the message that you would want them to hear, Lord, that you use me as a vessel, Lord, that I say what you want them to hear, Lord. Lord, I just pray today that your message shines through, and Lord, they take it with them as we continue revival in our church. We thank you and we praise you. Amen. So Paul is in prison here when he's writing this, and he's waiting to be executed. So he knows that his days are drawing near, and he's writing to Timothy, and this is one of the letters that he wrote called the pastoral letters, as we call them. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus make up those pastoral epistles, and these letters were written for instruction of young pastors, and that Paul had mentored in his Christian walk in the work for Jesus. So this was used as a teaching kind of, the books were used here as the teachings. And so you say, well, this is pastoral epistles. How does this apply to me? Well, I'm going to show you, because the letter was also written to the church of those young pastors and the churches that they were leading. And so it is written not only the churches of that day, but the churches of this day. You see, the Bible is saying yesterday, today, and forever. And so we have to understand that this word relates to us. The second letter of Timothy is part of God's love letter to all Christians. You say here in this letter, the people and any person that would give their life to Christ. Paul tells Timothy to keep the fire burning hot. Stir it up, he says. The letter applies to all of us. You see. Now, what are we going to dust off? What are we going to dust off the ashes of to rekindle? What do each of us bring that we can rekindle? What do each of us bring that we can get fired up and stay that way? What do each of us bring that we can make this unit into one and grow in Christ? Not so much in number, but we need to grow in Christ first and keep that. You see, Romans 6:23 said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, we can't go on and continue living the way we've been living in the past. We have to make that change as we become Christians. You can't just go on and accept the way that things have been in the past. We have to move on and live for the good of man and good of Christian men and women. And so we have to understand that we have to do this. Ephesians 2:8 said, "For by grace that you have been saved, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." You can't save yourself. God has to save you. You can't say, "I'm saved." God has to say that you're saved. Amen. We need to understand that the fire in the church has to begin with us. Right. The fire in the church has to continue to be rekindled by us. Each one of us has something that we can give. Each one of us has a part of this church that we can all do and do for each other. And so we have to remember that we all have a part. Ephesians 4:7, "But to each one of us was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Let me tell you what that gift is. That gift is that eternal relationship that we have with Christ Jesus through being saved by grace. The very purpose of Paul sending a letter to Timothy was the purpose of revival meetings. The purpose of me preaching is that you will be encouraged and will stir up that gift within you. You see, I don't get up here for my health. My job is to get up here and teach to you, preach to you, and let you learn and get fired up. And to give you different things, I have to encourage you. You see, my goal is not to entertain you, but to equip you with the things you need to continue on in your daily Christian walk. Amen. As you grow in closeness to God, tell others about this gift. You see, that's how it begins. You see, we get fired up as a church. We go and tell others about that. And hey, they might not come here, but lead them to Christ. Amen. We're a part of a bigger family, not just one church. We are the church. So how do we keep that fire burning bright? You see, the practical purpose of revival is that Christians must be godly people, and it is used to rekindle that fire. So remember that. I'm going to say it several times. Revival is used to rekindle that fire that we had. You see, we do all good when we become Christians. You know, we all do real good. We're real fired up. We want to do good for the Lord. We say, "Oh, yes, I'm saved. Oh, yes, I can do it." And about a year later, or it might not even take that long, well, it's time to go to church now. It's like it's a burden. You see, our problem is that we need that rekindling. We need to be able to do that. And each Sunday should be almost used for that purpose. No, it doesn't take just one day. Church is also open on Wednesdays too. Did y'all know that? We go Sunday morning and we go Wednesdays for this church. Some churches are open different times. There's different times that you can come and hear the teachings, hear the preachings, hear things, the Word of God is being spoken. You see? 1 Timothy 1:5 said, "But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." A pure heart, it says. The purpose of preaching is to show people that one is lost without Christ. You see, without Christ, they're wandering. They don't know where to go. They may think they do, but they're lost without Him. As a pastor, you see, I'm called to instruct you. I'm here to tell you the ways of God's Word and work. And if you never see your great need for Jesus and confess Him as your Savior, you cannot follow Him as Lord. You see, I'm learning too. I am not going to say that I know everything. I'm not going to say I know the inferring of the Bible to the end of the Bible. I learn something new every day. But that's because of his teaching and the preaching that I get. Because when I'm studying the lesson, I'm learning too. When I go through and read my Bible, I'm learning too. You see, we all need that learning every single day. Amen. We never have enough of God's Word. Now, I've told to you in the past about making that daily time with God, making that daily time that you grow in your Christian walk. Well, how do you do that? I don't know. Everybody's different. It may not mean at 7 o'clock you can get up and go to your Bible and read. It might be later. It might be later in the afternoon, but make that time with him. Make that time to you sit down and do that. There's times at work we may have a break. That may be a better time for us. Whatever that time is, give him that time. We have to go to him in a pure heart. You see, a pure heart only comes by confessing your sins and accepting Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, you might have a good heart, but do you have a pure heart that's pure with Jesus Christ? You know, the purpose of preaching is for the Holy Spirit to draw you into a relationship with God that produces your love. Your love for him, your love for others, your love for the church. You see, we can see true love in the Bible. You know, God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son. Now, we've talked about this before in the past, but would any of us do that? That is asking a big favor, but he gave his only son because he loved us so. You see, Paul so loved the world that he gave. See, true love is defined by giving yourself away. You're saying, I am at your disposal, God. Use me. I am a vessel for you, God. Use me. So you have to give yourself away. You have to use yourself as a person that is going to share the word. You say, well, I can't get up in front of people. I know you can't. But every one of us has got a mouth and actions, and we can show how God has blessed us through that. It could be just a one-on-one. It could be a couple people sitting at dinner or lunch or whatever. But we all have an opportunity to share that word. You see, that love that God plants deep in your heart leads you to invest in others. When you truly have that pure heart, when you truly have Jesus Christ in you, you will want to share what God has done for you. You will not want to keep it a secret. You see, that's our problem, is that we tend to want to be that person that goes to church, but our problem is that we don't want to live that God-like character that he wants us to be. You see, we need to exercise that love towards others. You know, love's like muscles, and if they are not exercised, they will fade. You know, not many of us are like Jonathan in here and can go do all that weightlifting and stuff. I'm older now. I hadn't done that in a while, as you can tell. I've exercised the fork a whole lot, fork to mouth. I'm pretty good at that. But I will say that love is like muscles, that if we don't use it, it will die. We got to have a good conscience. You see, I'm not talking about an unrealistic call to perfection, because I want to tell you that there's no one perfect. No, not one. But Jesus Christ. So I want to tell you that a good conscience is not that you have no sin or that you don't face temptation. You know, a good conscience, all Christians struggle. And I think that when you become a Christian, that's when it becomes worse. Because the devil is trying to attack you at every avenue, every corner that it can to bring you down, because you are doing something that is good for the Lord. You see, when you make yourself known, when you get out there and want to do things for Christ, then the devil wants to attack you. We often wonder why these things happen to us. God is not going to put you through anything that you can't get through. He is going to be there. If you remain faithful to Him, He will remain faithful to you. Ain't that right, Miss Barbara? In Hebrews chapter 10, you see, you can't get a clear conscience of from what to do, because this passage tells us that the blood of bulls and goats cannot cleanse us of sin. You see, we don't have to sacrifice animals anymore, because that promise was given to us by the blood of the Lamb through Jesus Christ. A clear conscience does not come from what we do. It comes from what Jesus has already done. If we accept Jesus, it should cleanse us, our whole body, our whole heart, so we have a pure heart, that we have a clear conscience. And the more that we put good in, as I've talked about, the more that good will come out. The more that you read your Bible, the more that you have instruction teaching, and that you put all that in, that's the part that's coming out. But you see, if you continue to watch TV and all those bad things on TV, if you continue to listen to gossip, then that's what's going to come out. That's what's going to show. That's what's going to be a part that shines out from you. You don't want that part as a Christian. That is sin. The Bible clearly talks about having a good conscience. 1 Timothy 4:2, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. See, Pharaoh would not confess God's truth or conform to God's word, but he was used to confirm God's power. Although he didn't want to believe, he knew what he had seen. He saw what the power of God was. If you want to keep the fire burning daily, you have to acknowledge your sin before God, and you have to cleanse yourself, and you will receive that salvation through Jesus Christ. We have to have also a sincere faith. You see, this is faith that goes beyond all formality. In other words, faith that is more than just your coming to church. You see, faith, this word used here literally translates as a firm conviction, it says. Firm conviction. You see, through faith, we can do it all. You see, because faith in who? What? Our Lord Jesus Christ. That He is. You don't have to end it. See, He is all. You see, the faith is not merely outward show, but an inward substance. You see, it's not so much what you show, it's the inside. And then when you have that on the inside, then that inside is going to come out again. I keep saying, what you put good in, you get good out. If we put our Christian faith to the test, then we're going to come out better on the other side. It may seem like we're failing at some things, but you got to remain faithful to what God has done for you, and He will see you through. Our problem is that we don't want to give it over to Him. We don't want to give it to Him when things are going bad. We only want to say, thank you, Jesus, things are going really good. And then when they go bad, you start blaming everybody and their brother. It might be everybody and their brother, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You forgot to thank God, because He right then is making you stronger than you'll ever be. If you'll just give it to Him, if you'll just have that faith, you'll understand that you can go through anything and that you'll come out on top. You said, Sammy, I don't understand, because I've been down in the valley. That's all right, because down in the valley you got a testimony that somebody needs to hear. And we need to quit being quiet, church. We need to tell everybody about what God is doing for us. And that's how you keep the revival alive in a church. You don't keep it in, you let it out. You don't keep it in and hide those discomforts that you've had. You share with people. That's called a testimony, that you're going to share of those points you've been in, but how God has delivered you from that. You say, well, Sammy, I don't know if it was God or not. I'm going to tell you that if you are praying, and if you are a praying person, and if you are a faithful person, I don't believe that nobody else pulled you from that. I believe that God was there. It was in God's timing that it occurred. And I believe that He is the Almighty, no matter what, the Almighty Prince of Peace, our King. Yes, His timing is perfect, Miss Barbara says. You see, so when Paul is saying this farewell address to his beloved son, he's saying, stir up the gift inside of you. Stir it up. Put your faith to work. You see, the purpose of revival meetings, the purpose of preaching, teaching, is to encourage us to be Christ-like. Paul is clearly talking about stirring up our desire. You see, some of you may be sitting here today and are as close to God as you want to be. You see, Paul is clearly talking about stirring up the church. Well, some of you probably are as holy as you ever want to be. Paul is clearly talking about stirring up a determination. You see, most of you may be as available as you want to be. I'm telling you today that we can't stop. We don't have a stopping point. We continue to fight the great fight. We never should be comfortable where we are. We should always want a little more. We can't just sit here and say that that's okay. We have to always want a little more. A fire has to be rekindled in order to keep that alive. Do you want the fire to stay fresh? I'm going to close with this. The true key to keeping the fire burning is for the men and women, boys and girls, to be filled with God. We can't go on pretending. We can't go on and say that everything's okay. We can't go on and accept the things like they always have been. Because the problem is that we must continually ignite that flame that we have for our Lord Jesus Christ. We must continue to be better at what we are and what we do. God's fresh filling on a day-by-day basis is the only thing that will keep the fire burning. Let us pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your word today. Lord, I just pray that as we're continuing and we want revival to stay alive, Lord, that we be filled, that we all are filled with your love, your salvation, Lord. Lord, if there's one here today that has not received that blessing, if there's one here today that is unsure, Lord, I just pray that he or she makes that decision today, that there's no sense in wondering if. But we need to know for sure. We need to know for sure today if you were to come back or we were to leave this world, where would we go? Heaven or hell? You see, today, Lord, in order for our church to remain filled, Lord, for our church to remain filled with you, we must accept you. We must allow you to be here. We must condition each and every one of our hearts to love and cherish you. Lord, we're so thankful for the things you've done for this church. Lord, I just pray again for the fire to continue to be